Good morning, good morning, and good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil, the podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. I know this sound is a lot different from what you're accustomed to, but guess what? I'm in my car this morning. and it's been a long time since we've been in this place having this level of conversation, but it's kind of nostalgic, and I'm kind of happy that it's happening. It's funny because I always thought that working from home and doing Popping Off with Phil was going to be a very easy transition, and it actually wasn't. I actually found it much, much harder because knowing that I was going to record Popping Off with Phil from my car every Tuesday gave me some structure, you know? It gave me a finite time to complete this task. And I'm a task-oriented person. It just makes sense to me. And working from home, things just changed because it was just always something, especially at the beginning of the pandemic. And just adjusting to working from home and finding your groove, because it does require some adjustment. Like, I never thought that I've enjoyed working from home, those isolated times where I have, but it was never something that I thought would be a regular thing. And so when it happened and started to happen, like, you really have to plan and prepare. You really have to kind of structure your day. You have to say, okay, I'm gonna do this at this time. I'm gonna have breakfast at this time. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. And it was an adjustment, and it gave me some issues initially with recording Popping Off with Phil, in terms of regularity. But I eventually got back to it. But nonetheless, I don't want to ramble about that. The weather here in Atlanta, Georgia, has been abysmal. There's been a lot of rain. It's messed up weekend plans. It's messed up my tennis season, because it's just been off and on rain. It's been very inconsistent. It rains when it says it's not going to rain. It doesn't rain when it says it's going to rain. And then last night, there was like this torrential downpour of rain and lots of thunder. And I'm sorry, I ran a light. Not on purpose. I always do that, though. Anyway, just a lot of stuff going on. another reason why you shouldn't podcast and drive, because you're not really paying attention. Nonetheless, I'm making it through the day. This is so odd. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop saying that this is odd, and I'm going to get to it. But it's just so weird being back in this space and recording the podcast. Anyway, I am looking really, really forward to my trip. I am going to take, I want to say, one of the first trips of the pandemic, because I did meet my parents last August in D.C. for the recommitment march on Washington, which was cool. But this is like my first trip, like for real, for real. and I'm excited. I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to see one of my best friends. Co-host to the show, hey Steven, and some other friends, my friend Gary, my friend Phil. So we're gonna have a good time in Chicago, and I'm really looking forward to that, because I need that decompression. I need that time away. I'm gonna see my other friend Josh. I'm gonna see a bunch of people. I'm really excited, and I have family there as well. So like my uncle's there, one of my dad's best friends, another, you know, uncle is there. So I'm gonna try to see as many people as I possibly can while I'm there. But I'm just really looking forward to getting on a plane, having a couple of cocktails, and just chilling with friends and catching up and hanging out and seeing people that I haven't seen in well over a year, some 2 years, because of course the pandemic. And so I'm really looking forward to that. I want to talk this morning, because I need to get into it, otherwise I'm going to keep rambling, about regrets. You know, one thing I love about the podcast and this opportunity is, like I've said in a prior podcast after having a conversation with my friend, it really is like a diary. It's like my diary. It's like my journal of my growth and my progression and how I feel about things and how sometimes those things change. And I know we live in a world where people are often saying that there's no such thing as regrets. They don't have any regrets. But, you know, I was thinking about it last night, and I do have some regrettable moments. There are definitely some things that have happened in my life, and I wish I would have taken a different approach, you know? I wish I would have gone left instead of going right. I wish I would have I would have stayed still instead of what I call meddling and doing things, you know what I'm saying? Not allowing things to kind of play out as they should. And so I was just thinking about that today, or last night, I should say, and was like, I think that'd be a good podcast, because I think that we're often told to live a life without regret, and that things happen for a reason. And yes, that's true, but that doesn't mean that you can't think about a decision or think about an opportunity that you had and regret the choice that you made and learn from that particular experience. I have a couple of regrets, you know. Some I know are out of my control. But a big one is the first time I attempted to be a homeowner. There was a primary lender and there was a backup lender. And the primary lender pretty much denied me. They said that, you know, I didn't qualify for the loan. And there was a backup lender. And I allowed a representative of the seller to kind of talk me out of working with the backup lender, you know. I didn't really know the woman. I mean, I had had more interaction with her than, of course, I would have had or had had with the other lender. And I had reached out to him and we had had a conversation. But ultimately, I allowed her influence to deter me from going through the process again. You know what I'm saying? I chalked it up to, well, I've already done this and I'll have to start all over. Is it really, really worth it? Yada, 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 yada. And I ultimately chose not to do it. And to this day, in the back of my mind, in the back of my head, I'm still like, how would life be different if I would have become a homeowner then as opposed to now, you know? This home at the time was part of the Beltline project just before they really even had begun to pave. I don't even know. I believe that area now was paved, but it wasn't even paved. It was just like, this is on the Beltline. They were offering crazy incentives for first-time homeowners. And so I was like, you know, it was definitely one of those things where I was like, this would be great, you know, at that time in my life. But I didn't do it. And I've always thought about how different life would be if I was in a position now, like if I could have sold it and profited and used that money to buy my dream house or use that money to pay off or pay down debt or whatever the case is. I've just always thought about those things, especially with the type of year we had last year, where it really was a seller's market, and sellers were, and we're still kind of in that environment where, you know, sellers have that opportunity, that flexibility to say, hey, you know, I mean, there are people who are literally paying $100,000 above asking sight unseen just to get into a particular place, you know, so that puts a seller in an awesome position. And so I just think about those things. And of course, I try not to bog myself down with those thoughts and with those regrets. But it's a real regret that I didn't follow through. Because even if they would have told me no, and there's a likelihood that they would have, at least I would have known that I had done everything in my power to become a homeowner. Because that's the process, you know. It's an arduous process. It can be an uphill battle, but at the end of the day, you walk away with those keys. You walk away knowing that this is something that belongs to you. And that's a great feeling. And, you know, I kind of felt or kind of feel at times I robbed myself of that opportunity. And then, of course, I'm reminded that things happen when they're supposed to happen in terms of timing. I also realized that I tied becoming a homeowner at that time to so many different things. Like, I was like, well, you know, if this isn't meant to be, if I don't get this house, then this is probably God telling me that Atlanta is not for me and I need to move on and do different things and, you know, pursue this or pursue that, because I've been through all of these different things in terms of career, in terms of terms of my degree and what I should do and what I shouldn't do. And I was like, well, this is probably God giving me the okay to move on and get out of Atlanta. Notice I'm still here. and that didn't happen. You know, I'm here today. And of course, like I said, now I realize that things happen when they're supposed to happen, because the process that I went through to purchase this home, the only pain and anguish that I went through is my own self-inflicted pain and anguish. But in terms of finding a realtor, finding a mortgage broker, finding a home, getting under contract, and everything going through, it was pretty smooth. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it was pretty smooth. Like, I think I started to talk to a realtor in May. I decided to go with that realtor and sign that contract at the beginning of June. I think the first, I kind of compared the prices and the experiences with two different lenders. So I think they probably pulled my credit around the 1st of June. I was under contract in July, and literally I was just waiting for the home to be constructed. And once the home was constructed, I mean, that was pretty much it. The home was constructed, and that happened in December, or they finished construction in November, and I closed in December. And that literally was my process. That literally is how smooth that process was. So it wasn't one of these long, drawn-out things that I know that so many other people have gone through. It really was pretty smooth. And so I know that things happen the way that they were supposed to. Another, I guess, regret that I had, and I've had this situation a couple of times, is, and this is one that I think that we all can learn from so that you don't find yourself in the same situation again. And this is really the regret of not trusting your instinct, not trusting yourself about a particular situation. Not knowing when it's best to make a move that benefits you. You know, I know for a fact that I'm not a perfect person, but I really do have a lot of compassion for people. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with being compassionate, but I think that there is an issue when you allow your compassion for people and your thoughtfulness of other people in their situations to overshadow what you want, what you feel, what you need, what makes you happy. You know, I understand that happiness is a fleeting emotion, and a lot of times we chase happiness instead of chasing joy, which I've definitely said before, you know, we need to be chasing joy and not happiness. But happiness is the emotion that we most connect to. Most of the quotes out there will say, you know, you want to do things that make you happy. You know, it's important to do things that make you happy. And whereas you might not be able to do things that make you happy in every element of your life, like, I've learned that I might not ever have a job that makes me happy, because I got bills that don't make me happy that must be paid, and they don't care if I'm happy or not. The relationships that you have should be based a little bit on what makes you happy. You know, if it doesn't make you happy, if it doesn't even open up the window for joy, then you need to reevaluate those relationships. And that doesn't matter who the relationship is with. It could be with family, it could be with friends, it could be with coworkers. There are certain things that you just have to let go, because they are not bringing you happiness. They're not going to lead to joy. And there's no need to hold on to those things for the sake of someone else. And so what I can say in terms of regrets and learning from your regrets and acknowledging that, you know, you don't have to be in this space again, is really trusting yourself and being honest with yourself about what makes you happy, what keeps you going. And if this, the situation, the relationship, whatever it is, are you holding on to it for you or for someone else? I've definitely been in situations, relationships, friendships, where it was more important to me that the other person was okay, that the other person was cool, that the other person was getting what they wanted, than it was for me. And I can look back on those situations today and say, I regret not leaning into what I knew was right or what I felt. I regret not leaning into the fact that, you know, you have those moments where you're like, you know, this ain't gonna work. Or this isn't working out. Or this doesn't make any sense. We all have had those moments. We all have had those situations. And sometimes we trust them. You know, I've definitely been in situations where I was like, okay, this smells like something I've seen before. And before I get too deep, let me back away. You know, I've been in those particular situations. But sometimes you're in too deep. Sometimes there is a firm or an established relationship. There's love there. There's care there. There's compassion there. There's thoughtfulness there. All of those things are there. And so those things will have you believing. You have to stay in that situation because you're more concerned with the fallout than you are about how you feel and what you know is right or wrong. And those situations, they rob you of so much. They take so much away from you that at the end of the day, it really isn't worth it. It really isn't worth it. And I'm not saying that it's easy. You know, for me, I have friends who are in totally different spaces. So I have friends, when they decide that it's over and it's done, they can make a very clean break. And they can be like, yeah, you know, didn't work, ain't gonna work. These are the rules. Don't contact me. Don't reach out to me. Don't say anything to me. If you see me on the street, you don't even have to speak. Walk on the other side. Like, I have friends who are who have the ability to be that deliberate in ending something. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that it's not easy. Not to say that they don't have a process. Not to say that they're not upset. Not to say that they're not crying and bawling their eyes out in private moments. But they can very honestly and deliberately say that this situation doesn't serve me. I understand the situation doesn't serve me and walk away. I'm not that person. And I realize that I really do get that from my dad because I've acknowledged or observed in his life, you know, situations where I'm like, that just ain't right. And so it's so much easier to see it in other people's situations, other people's lives. It's so much easier to identify in somebody else's life. There's a situation that is not a good situation, and yet they're still holding on and pressing towards and being optimistic about it, as opposed to looking at your life and being like, oh, well, this is the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, it's so close to you, you just don't realize it. But it's tough for me because I do think about, because I care about people, so I do care about what happens afterwards. I do care maybe too much about, you know, the narrative that's being spun about me. It's like, am I going to be another one of those people who are considered to be ain't shit and don't care and, you know, those types of things? And to be quite honest, I really need to take RuPaul's very wise words into consideration. What other people got to say about you really ain't none of your business. You know who you are. You know what you've done. You know how you've tried to make a particular situation work. And if it doesn't, it just doesn't. And that's okay, especially if you know you've done all that you could do to make it a positive thing, you know, to make it a working thing. But you can't do it by yourself. You know what I'm saying? You can't be pulling rope while somebody else is giving up your slack. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like we're in a competition. We're supposed to be pulling rope and you're not pulling your weight, or you're literally like giving up the slack that we have. You know what I'm saying? I can't push a boulder up the hill and you're on the other side pushing it back on me as opposed to next to me trying to help me push it up the hill. It makes it that much harder when we're not working together, working towards the same goal. And so in that sense, I believe that that's a regret that you can observe, you can acknowledge, you can lean into, and you can say, okay, what's the lesson here? The lesson here is to trust myself, to know that It's not about what somebody else says. It's not about what somebody else says they're trying to do, what they want to do, what they gonna do. It's about how you feel about a particular situation, trusting your instincts and being like, you know what? I get it, but this ain't the business. It just isn't the business. And I think that that's okay. And it's taken me so long to get to the place where I can say, and that's okay. Like, it's okay if that's the outcome. It's okay if at the end of the day, that's how I feel. It's okay if I come to the conclusion that the end goal, whatever it might be, is not worth the uphill battle to get to it, you know? Because there are some things that are worth, you know, they say that there are things, you know, anything worth having is worth fighting for. And sometimes we have to realize and we have to admit to ourselves that this really ain't worth fighting for. So all of the things that, all of the energy that's put into this is not worth the end. It just ain't worth it, you know? Another regret, what I want to say? Regretting not pushing yourself. You know, regretting not, you know, I'll say this about career choices. You know, when I first decided that I was going to pursue arts administration, I know that there was some concern because people are like, well, what exactly is arts administration? You know? And what kind of work will one find? What type of work will one find in arts administration? And I think when I finally finished my degree and was looking around and trying to figure out what was going on, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, Atlanta's a pretty big market. And people who are in like film industry or we'll say journalism, like radio, television, understand the whole concept of big markets. And so the reality is that sometimes you have to work in a smaller market, do the work there, get the experience there so that you can eventually promote up and out to a bigger market. So you're not going to be able to necessarily work on Fox News. Fox News is not a good example. Scratch that. You're not going to be able, nobody just comes out of college and works at the Today Show as an anchor. You know what I'm saying? You don't get that job. You don't come directly out of college and start your career being the morning anchor on an ABC or NBC or a CBS affiliate. You know, you start in smaller places. You know, you may have to go to Biloxi. You may have to go to Columbia, Charleston. You may have to go to a smaller place and start that work and start that process so that you can promote up or promote out to those bigger networks. And so at the time, and now I understand this, and this is why they say youth is wasted on the young. I wasn't willing to make the sacrifice to go to a smaller place to start my career as an arts administrator. To one, see if it was something that I actually enjoyed. And two, just get the experience of living somewhere else and trying to figure something else out. Something outside of Atlanta, something outside of Detroit, something outside of what I was familiar with. And there are days where I regret that choice, because had I done that, I would have been in a position to, one, actually use the degree that I paid a lot of money for. And two, I probably could have found myself back at this place. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares if you're, well, I won't say who cares, but for the sake of argument, who cares if at 23, 24 years old, you have to be in a small town where you don't really know anybody? You know what I'm saying? It's that sacrifice. It's like, well, maybe at that point I would have sacrificed my personal life a little bit to build a career. But at that age, I would have been young enough to pivot and say, okay, I know I don't want to do this, so let me figure out something else. As opposed to being at a position now where I'm 36 years old. And I know people almost 36 years old. I know people are like, it's never too late. And you could always do this. You could always do that. But I'm at the point now where it's like, especially with the year that we've had, especially with the direction funding and support for the arts was already going. And now we've had this pandemic, and now we understand and know that the way that we do things, the way that we create live theater, the way that we create live performance is going to have to change. Like, I can't afford to be, you know, I'm a homeowner now, I got a mortgage, you know, I can't afford, honestly, me, you know, can't afford to put myself in that position where I am starting from the ground up, you know? And to be quite honest, I am unwilling to make that level of sacrifice because I don't think it would be worth it. So my regret stems from not doing it earlier in my life. Whereas if it didn't work out before I had more bills, before I had more debt, I could pivot. You know what I'm saying? You just, you know, when you're younger, you just need less. You know what I'm saying? You can function on less. Now I'm at a situation where it's like, nope, I need to get my car washed. I need to take things to the cleaners. I want this type of water. I want this type of, you know, I'm purchasing these types of things. I only buy this particular brand. I wasn't like that in my early 20s. It was like, what's cheapest? What's on sale? You know what I'm saying? Now it's a situation where it's a quality over quantity situation. I'd rather pay $50 for something that's going to last a month than pay $20 for something that's going to last 6 months that I'm going to have to wear out and use more. Like, I'm just disinterested in that way of living. And so, yeah, the regret stems from not taking that chance very early on in my life. You know, the regret of not going after, not being bold about pursuing a person. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are things that happen, that play out in your life. And so I just been thinking about that whole concept of not living a life with regret. And while I think that might be a good catchphrase, the reality is that our lives are built around choices that we made. And reality is some of those choices are just regrettable. But with all things, you learn the lesson so that when you find yourself in a space again, you can walk into that situation knowing that you made a choice, fully cognizant of your past, of your present, and thinking towards your future. So as you get older, because I do believe this, I do believe that you should reach a point in your life where it's not about a long laundry list of regrettable moments. But that you're learning from those things that have happened in your past that have informed your present and your future. Because I really do believe very strongly that our past does inform our present and our future. And good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, things happen in our past that we definitely have to lean into so that we can have a better present, and ultimately have the best future that's available to us. Because that's all we want in the end. In the end, we all want the best life. And it looks different for different people, you know? The best life for some people is living in a high rise in the city with concierge service, with no kids and being able to jet set. The best life for somebody else is a farmhouse and a bunch of kids and a bunch of animals and having their in-laws or their parents live with them. The best life for somebody else is renting an apartment. The best life for somebody else is buying a luxury car, whereas the best life for somebody else is leasing a car every 2 to 3 years because that's what they want to do. And I think that if my father hasn't told me anything else that I've really held on to, it's you got to make the best choice for you. And the best choice for you doesn't look like the best choice for somebody else. And we had this conversation when I was talking about the first car that I purchased and I decided to lease it as opposed to buy it. And there was all of this white noise coming at me like, why would you lease a car? You drive too much. Do this. And my dad said, listen, you know, You got to do what works for you. You got to do what makes you happy. At the end of the day, you're going to be paying whatever that note is for the next 60 months anyway. So enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's something that you purchase or something that you buy. But if you're going to be paying that money for that length of time, make sure you enjoy it. That's the lesson. Make sure that you enjoy it. And, you know, that same conversation with, you know, there are people who rent versus people who buy. And there's this whole concept that you need to buy. And for some people, that's just not important. You know, I know that some of that's generational. Yes, I decided to purchase because I knew I wanted to have something for myself. And I was so tired of the rat race involved in leasing and renting apartments because it's just trash. You know what I'm saying? You're paying more money, but the quality of where you live and the people who are heavily involved in how your living situation works, whether it's maintenance, whether it's the actual staff for that particular complex, you're required to do all these things, and they're not required to hold up, in my opinion, hold up their end of the bargain. You know what I'm saying? So you want my rent on time, but you don't have to respond to my maintenance concerns on time. You want my rent on time. I need to do this and I need to move this, or I need to be about this, but you're not doing the things to make the community better. You know, I don't have access to the pool. I don't have access to the gym. This is broken or this is down, but I have to pay the convenience fees associated with having a service that I don't even use or can't use. It was trash. And so it was time for me to make that change. You know what I'm saying? To get into something, a very fixed situation where I know that every month is going to be this. It's not going to go up. And it's going to be like that over the next 30 years. And that's a good space to be in. That's a better space to be in than being in a space where things are constantly changing and the requirements are becoming heavier on me, but ain't nobody else doing nothing to make it better. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no good. So at the end of this, wrapping this all up, I think what I want people to walk away from this episode knowing is that regrets are real and they happen. And many of us are going to walk through life with a handful of regrettable moments. I should have did this. I shouldn't have done this. I should have gone there. I shouldn't have gone there. I should have taken that opportunity. I shouldn't have taken that opportunity. I should have leaned into this experience, or I should have walked away. That's going to happen. And it's okay. It's okay. Learn the lesson from that moment, whatever the lesson is, whether the lesson is to move forward or yield, to stay or walk away, to build or to tear down. To be vocal or be silent, whatever the lesson is, learn that lesson. And when it shows up again in your life, because they always do, you have the full knowledge of what being in that situation looks like. And at that moment, you can step into a choice that will alleviate you of regret. Choose you. Nobody's going to love you more. Nobody's going to support you more. Nobody's going to rally for you more. So always choose you. Even if choosing you seemingly hurts someone else or hurts something else or damages something else, choose you. Choose you. Be intentional about putting what you want, what you need, what you desire first. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be the person they're picking up the pieces from these choices. You're going to be the person they're making sure that you push forward, that you move forward. And so it's important that you honor your feelings, honor your emotions, trust how you feel about a situation, trust what you think about a situation, so you don't find yourself constantly negotiating in your head these moments where you should have, could have, would, or it would have been a better idea if you did this or did that. And just continue to love on yourself. Continue to to become familiar with yourself so that you know when you get these inklings, when you get these gut feelings, when you get this moment of your conscience kind of tapping you on the shoulder, that you know what that is about. You know, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself. That's all I got. Thanks for tuning in another week. This rainy, rainy, dreary day in Atlanta. I hope wherever you are, you're experiencing weather better than this. Continue to like, continue to post, continue to subscribe, continue to share. If this episode doesn't do anything for you, perhaps it does something for someone else. And so, because I believe that we're all here to help each other, I hope that this has helped someone or is going to help someone as much as it's even helping me in this moment. Like, as I'm talking through this, it's giving me more clarity about some choices that I need to make in my own life. And that's what it's all about. Hope you guys have a wonderful Tuesday and a wonderful week. I love you. Peace.